Thank you very much. We are here to bring you the story behind the music you love and to introduce you to the men who make that music at Orchestra Hall. You'll also get to hear an informal and easy-to-understand discussion of music and its interesting personalities. And what's more, you, listening right now, have an opportunity to win two main floor tickets for a concert by the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. And today, let's turn to the pages in your symphony scrapbook that tell about that somewhat unfamiliar instrument, the viola. And we have with us Mr. Rocco Germano, member of the viola section of the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. Mr. Germano, I'm sure our listeners would like to have you identify the selection that you played at the beginning of the program and perhaps play some more from that composition.
Yes, this is the part of the elegy from the String Serenade by Tchaikovsky.
Although you've been with the orchestra, let's see, this is your fourth season, isn't
My
it?
My fourth year, yes.
This is your first appearance on this series of programs, and so I think it will be interesting to our listeners to have you tell a little bit about your background, your early training, about your previous orchestral experience before joining the Chicago Symphony.
Yes. Well, I was born in Italy, and I came here at the age of 8 and began studying the violin when I was 12 and a half, a little bit late in life, I think. And I attended Notre Dame University for 2.5 years. I spent 3 years in the Army, in which I did intelligence work. I was a dental technician, and I also was in special service, and played with many traveling shows. And I was in a pit orchestra with such men as Mickey Rooney and other Hollywood and Broadway personalities. And while I was in the service, I also conducted a musical in Wiesbaden, Germany, and I had a lot of fun doing it. I attended Chicago Musical College after my discharge, and I received my bachelor's and my master's degrees, and I studied with Paul Stasiewicz and Milton Pries.
Did you have any orchestral experience before, outside of the Army?
Yes, I played in Grand Park Orchestra, and I was assistant principal down in New Orleans for a year.
Well, we're glad to have you with us. Now, introducing this program, I said something about the viola being an unfamiliar instrument. Certainly it is not, doesn't share, say, in popular favor with the violin or the cello, and I think even among a large number of professional musicians, it's not rated very highly. Is that partly because there's not much literature for the viola?
Well, no, I wouldn't say so. I disagree with you, of course. But there is much, much literature for the instrument. Well, let's start with the with Berlioz's Herald in Italy. That's undoubtedly the most famous piece of music prior to the century. And it's interesting to note Cecil Forsyth in his book on orchestration. He states that to hear this monumentally dull piece of music is quite enough to put the listener off the viola for the rest of his life. Well, fortunately, the statement has not been taken too seriously, for today it's one of Berlioz's most popular works. And today, of course, we look at it not as a concerto, but as a symphony with viola obbligato, in which the viola is used mostly for coloring. And there have been many other composers during the last 50 years or so who have written very important works for the viola. And it's unfortunate we don't hear these works performed more frequently. To name a few of these composers, there's Paul Hindemith, Benjamin Dale, York Bowen, Sir Arnold Bax, Gordon Jacob, Granville Bontoc, Vaughan Williams, Bloch, Walton, Quincy Porter, Tibor Serley, and Bartok, and many others. And you will notice that many of these are English. And It's also interesting to note that the two greatest violists of the century, Lionel Tertius and William Primrose, are English, and it shows you what an important contribution they made to the literature, actually.
Well, I'd like to throw in, you talked about Berlioz in answering my question. Wasn't it Berlioz who said that the viola has long been misappreciated, or the most misappreciated of all the orchestral instruments?
He probably did.
Perhaps that's why he wrote Harold in Italy, to bring it to the fore.
Yes.
And show it.
Well, you know,
home.
He was a great colorist and used different sections of the orchestra for coloring. And in the Harold in Italy, I think he uses that mainly for that purpose, for coloring.
Well, among those you mentioned, is there any one composer whose works you'd like to use in illustration of the qualities of the viola?
Yes, I like to play the Fantasy by Paul Hindemith from his sonata, Opus 11, number 4.
One question I always ask viola players when they appear on this program, because I like to get their dander up a little bit. I'll preface my question with a statement I saw the other day in an article in which a viola player was defending his instrument, and he said that a violist needs a greater amount of sensitivity than most musicians, because instead of being able to show off in brilliant passages, I think he was referring to, say, the violins or the cellos, he has to bring out the specific sound and color quality of the instrument. With that to shoot at, I'll say to you, well, now, what do you think of the statement that you so often hear, that a violist is nothing more or less than a broken-down violinist, or a disgruntled violinist, or a frustrated violinist?
Oh, well, first let me say that I agree with you on this violist on the first statement, that a violist tries to bring out the musical qualities. For an example, let me ask you this. You wouldn't consider Stock or Montaux or another one, Milton Cadams, a broken-down violist just because they, these men became great conductors.
I think. Well, understand that what I said was in quotation marks.
Yes. Well, even so. Well, I just think that I don't agree with that the oldest are broken down fiddle players, naturally. I think that one finds the field or the instrument he's most interested in and explores it to the best of his ability. And today, one can't retire from the violin section of the orchestra and join the viola section because the instrument is too demanding, and skill is gained only after years of diligent studying.
Well, I think the same writer I quoted a few minutes ago said a viola player is born, not made.
Probably true. Yes, I believe that certain people are more sympathetic towards the instrument. For example, you wouldn't expect a person who can't stand high penetrating pitch to become a fine violinist. And also, you wouldn't expect a man who can't stand the lower register to become a good bass player. And I think this is something that should be given very careful consideration in training students to become instrumentalists. I've known of several cases of students who haven't done too well on the violin and have changed to the viola, and immediately their attitude changed and they progressed much faster.
Well, how did you happen to become a viola player?
Well, when I was in college, there was nobody around to play viola in chamber music or orchestra, so I volunteered. After 3 years in the Army, I volunteered. But I haven't been sorry. I found that I spend more and more time on the instrument, and I liked it. So I changed, and I'm very happy with it.
In other words, do you think it's a greater challenge than, say, the violin or the cello, which are better known?
Well, I think any string instrument is a challenge.
In other words, you never really can conquer the instrument. If you had to start all over again, would you start with the... viola?
I probably would, yes. I haven't given it too much consideration, but I think it's a good idea because many young students today are starting on the viola, and they get a better perspective of the instrument, the sound, and so forth.
Well, fine. Thanks ever so much, Mr. Giovanna, for this very interesting program which you've given us. And now I'd like to... send a pair of tickets for a concert by the Chicago Symphony Orchestra in Orchestra Hall to Dr. F.K. Kruger of Valparaiso University at Valparaiso, Indiana, for his anecdote, which we're putting in our scrapbook at this time. He said that Max Reger was not only a great composer, but also an excellent pianist, and frequently he appeared in concerts as a performer on the piano. And thus, at one time, he played the piano part in Schubert's Opus 114, the so-called Forellen or Trout Quintet. After the performance, an enthusiastic female admirer sent him a box of excellent trout. Mr. Reger acknowledged the receipt of the present with thanks and added, "May I also remind you, my dear lady, that next week I'm going to take part in the playing of Joseph Haydn's so-called Oxen Menuet, that is, the Ox Menuet, and thanks to Dr. Kruger for his interesting anecdote."